This is Jay Sekulow, an update on the prisoner swap and further developments for Miriam Ibrahim.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'm never surprised by controversies that are whipped up in Washington, right? That's par for the course. We have a basic principle. We do not leave anybody wearing the American uniform behind.
What do you mean by the fact that what happened after alarmed you even more than the fact that he walked off the base is how you have reported it?
I mean, right in the days following, with all the assets we had in the area looking for him, we heard over the radio chatter that there was an American looking for someone who spoke English so he could talk to the Taliban. I heard that right over the radio and right from the interpreter's lips when he said it.
Well, there are certain requirements that have long been the case, and they're available on the INA website. To transmit U.S. citizenship to a child born abroad, there must be, among other requirements, a biological relationship between the child and a U.S. citizen parent or parents. U.S. regulation authorizes the department to request whatever additional evidence it may need to establish the U.S. citizenship. Genetic testing is a useful tool for verifying a biological relationship.
These are real dangerous people. That's why we held them in captivity for so long. And it's been said if they were put right back on the streets and the disturbing thing is Karzai would have loved to have them back in Afghanistan. It tells what a person we're dealing with in Karzai. That have been horrendous, horrific.
I make absolutely no apologies for making sure that we get back a young man to his parents and that we don't condition whether or not we make the effort to try to get them back.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
You know, it's interesting. The president is conflating the issue of bringing the American home, the sergeant home, which I don't think anybody is opposed, as compared with and conflating the issue of releasing five leadership members of the Taliban. So if you were to do a search and rescue mission for the sergeant, I don't think there'd be anybody in the country that would be opposed to that in the situation, at least on the facts that we have. The question would be, do you release five members of the Taliban that held in Gitmo? And the answer to that should be no. And the president, of course, didn't follow through with the Constitution as well. So we're taking your calls on all of this and an update on Miriam Ibrahim at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Senators are fuming over the Bergdahl deal. Jordan is actually in our offices in Strasbourg, France, and our radio studio is there. Jordan, what's the reaction so far in Europe as the president has been in Europe?
A very weak president is what everyone is talking about here, especially with foreign policy. The G7 is meeting right now in Paris. Of course, it's not the G8 because Russia is not involved and wasn't invited to the meetings. But the idea, again, you look at that situation, what's happened in Ukraine, and now this foreign policy decision to make a deal with the Taliban and five top Al-Qaeda-linked leaders who are now roaming freely living in Qatar. And the deal was made for someone who is reported to be a deserter. When you put all of that together, it further underscores the lack of a European almost respect for our foreign policy anymore.
You know, I think that's certainly the sentiment we're getting here, folks. I want to hear especially from military men and women or people that have had family members that have served in the military, maybe in these conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. Talk to us at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. David, let me ask you this question. By the way, we've got some updated news on Miriam Ibrahim. I'm going to get Than in the conversation after the break. But quickly here, David, what are you hearing from your fellow soldiers right now on this whole situation?
Still an enormous amount of anger here. I mean, the idea that you're going to give the Taliban a victory for the sake of someone who appears to be a deserter seems to be it's foolish. It's just foolish.
You know, it's interesting. I think that what they're doing is the president's conflating the issue of getting the soldier out, which no one opposes, versus releasing five Gitmo detainees. And that, to me, is the outrage in the whole thing. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, including information on Miriam Ibrahim. Folks, we're 356,116. We're going to leave this petition up on radio today and tomorrow. That's going to be it for the radio side of this. We'd love to get this thing up to... David, can we get to 370? Probably with some pushing. Yeah, it'd be great to get it to 370 for the weekend as we start to continue the work on this. So, again, I encourage you to sign that petition at 1-877-989-2255 or BeHeardProject.com. That's BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You can sign it there as well or call us right now at 877-989-2255 to free Miriam Ibrahim.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Figure out the plan here, what the president was up to. But before we get to that, let's get to an update on Miriam Ibrahim's situation. And folks, when we talk about petitions working and getting action, we've got something to report. Go ahead, Than.
Yeah, really great news here. We've been telling people about our efforts with both the State Department and Congress on behalf of Miriam Ibrahim. You know, the State Department's been a real struggle. But I got to tell you, unanimous United States Senate passed a resolution sponsored by Marco Rubio, and by the way, co-sponsored by a number of Democrats, including Chris Coons, who you've testified in front of, Jay, as well as Bob Menendez. 100-0, unanimous consent, they passed a resolution calling for the release of Miriam Ibrahim and her children, and also calling on our government to provide her safe passage to the United States should she choose it. So there's no disagreement on this, Jay, in the United States Senate. Unanimous consent in favor of Miriam.
All right, so there's some good news right there. And now the legal work continues and the government affairs work continues on this. And we are gathering that petition and we are pushing 360,000. I believe we'll get to 370,000 pretty soon. But we need your help to do it. And let me encourage you, because today and tomorrow are going to be the last 2 days to do it, aclj.org. or 1-877-989-2255, or BeHerProject.com, or 877-989-2255. Let me tell you something else this is going to do. You sign this petition, it's sending a message, not just to the Sudanese, but to our own State Department, to the president. If you're upset with what the president's done in the last 48 hours, let's say, this would be a good petition for you to sign, because you're going to urge the freedom of two American kids that are held in a Sudanese jail, but it's also going to tell you, why are we leaving those Americans behind? So if you're outraged about that, then you need to sign this petition at aclj.org or call us right now at 1-877-989-2255. I want you to think about this. Two kids, newborn, 20-month-old, in prison with their mother. The two kids are American citizens. They've been left behind. At the same time, we release Gitmo detainees, five leadership for al-Qaeda. If you're outraged about this whole way this has gone down and you want to help Miriam at the same time, aclj.org or BeHerProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or aclj.org. It's a good way for you to register your concern. Let's go right to the phones. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Arthur's calling on line two. Hi, Arthur. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if outrage is the correct word I am over this. I've got a son on his 4-2 over there in Afghanistan, and it seems like our president's doing everything he can do to get him killed and all other sons and daughters and fathers and mothers. And and we can't take care of our own. So all the conspiracy theorists they like listen to and stuff like that, it's hard not to listen to more of it now because
I said that to Pam yesterday. It's just almost proving the conspiracy theories correct. It's like watching an episode of Homeland. I mean, this whole thing is so bizarre. But first of all, let me say this, and I know David's going to want to comment on this. I want to appreciate you, your family, and your son serving our country right now in Afghanistan. And believe me, that's who I'm concerned about in this whole process, David, of who's being impacted by this, is our soldiers, your fellow soldiers. You were in Iraq, these guys in Afghanistan and gals in Afghanistan. That's what got me concerned here. We've sent some message. I'm going to ask Jordan about how it's being played in Europe politically, but this is some message.
Oh, absolutely. And the Taliban, it's a message received for the Taliban. They just stated today that they're now going to try to capture more American soldiers because they learned that it works, that they win a victory. We have a piece that's coming up on our homepage that shows that there is a that talks about the difference between a rescue, which is a defeat for the enemy because you kill or capture the attacker, the hostage takers, and you deprive them of their asset for no return. The rescue is a military victory. A ransom is a military defeat, and this is a bad military defeat that not only made the Taliban stronger, it gave them incentive to take more American soldiers.
Well, let me tell you this. A Taliban commander has said this. It's been reported now in the press. It said it is better to kidnap—this is what he said, basically, number one, that the recent deal by the Obama administration makes kidnapping U.S. soldiers more attractive. Here's what he said. The commander speaking to Time magazine said it logistically made sense at this point to try and kidnap soldiers and other high-value targets. It's better to kidnap one person like Bergdahl than kidnapping hundreds of useless people. It has encouraged our people to know everybody will work hard to capture such an important bird. End quote. That's from the Taliban. That's the Taliban commander saying this. So if you're outraged on this, folks, I want you to express it by signing these petitions at ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Jordan, what's the reaction in Europe generally? I know you've been in France. You're in our offices in Strasbourg. What's the sense of the proportionality of what's going on here?
Well, I think that everyone realizes how big this scandal is. If you look at European news sites and any of their coverage on America, this is the top story. Even with the D-Day 70th anniversary coming up and being celebrated this weekend with the world leaders coming in, you got the G7 going on right now in France. Even Vladimir Putin will be in France for the 70th anniversary of D-Day. So with all of that going on, the focus is not so much on the American soldier himself, but really the fact that you've got a situation where the president looks like he openly violated U.S. law in a way that translates very easy to people all over the world. There's a 30-day requirement for before you release these Gitmo detainees. It wasn't met. In fact, the administration was really bragging about the fact that they didn't notify Congress. Some reports now at least Sunday night, but others are saying it really wasn't done until Monday. And so you put all this together. Again, this is what's dominating the news. A president who makes deals with the Taliban when we're told that again, we're a country that supposedly doesn't negotiate with terrorists and puts a different spin on. I mean, I've seen the international reporters talking about how this somehow shows how the U.S. will work with the Taliban in the future, that this is now leading to how we will fully withdraw from Afghanistan and help and even work with the Taliban.
It's so beyond the pale of reasonable. I mean, it's just unconscionable, but I'm glad we're getting that perspective. Let's take another call. Ryan is calling on line 5 from Washington, D.C., Ryan, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, sir. Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
So this has got me really, really upset. I served in Iraq.
Thank you for your service.
It was an honor to serve. Here is the problem that I see with it is that he says that he's leaving nobody behind. But from what it sounds like from the other service member who were there, this guy left his service members behind. And so he went to go meet with the Taliban and people died trying to get him back. And so what really bothers me is that people probably died in the capture of these Taliban detainees. People died to try to get this guy back when he broke faith with his brothers in arms. And really what we're doing here is we're trading, you know, terrorists for somebody who didn't fulfill their duty. And, you know, when I hear that, like Senator Reid say that, you know, we really owe him some time, some peace, and some time to get recuperate with his family. I really think that who is owed are the mothers and fathers who lost service members trying to find this guy after he left his post.
David, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, first, regarding the mothers and fathers who lost service lost their sons searching for Bo Bergdahl. Where was their Rose Garden ceremony? I mean, that's what I want to know. Where was their Rose Garden ceremony? There was a Rose Garden ceremony given to parents of Bo Bergdahl. But Ryan is really hits the nail on the head here. I'll even go further, and I'll say that Bo Bergdahl, when he abandoned his brothers in arms, he knew that they were going to be placed at extreme risk.
Right, you talked about that the other day because of the way it works internally.
The way it works is he knew that the highest priority for American forces would be to find an American soldier who is gone from a base, from a combat outpost. That he knew that that would be a high priority for his brothers in arms he'd left behind and other units. And so he knowingly and intentionally, and I think maliciously, put his brothers in arms at risk. So the idea that we would pay a ransom for this guy, give the Taliban a victory for this guy, I share Ryan's outrage.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate your call. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Than, what happens next on Capitol Hill? We're talking about with Jordan what's happening in Europe. What happens next on Capitol Hill?
Well, the next thing is actually going to be on Wednesday. The House Armed Services is actually going to hold a classified hearing with Secretary Hagel, and he's going to be asked about why they didn't get the 30-day notification. That is really, you know, the question here, Jay, that Congress is so focused on. You hear the president continue to talk about Sergeant Bergdahl, and the reason that he does that is because almost nobody on the Hill agrees with him when you talk about the other side of the equation, the release of these terrorists. So the first opportunity to get information is going to be when Secretary Hagel has to come to the House Armed Services Committee and answer those questions. And Jay, I think they're going to be difficult questions from both sides of the aisle because most of the Democrats are following Dianne Feinstein's lead and saying, listen, why were we not notified? Secretary Hagel's going to have to answer those questions.
Let's play Dianne Feinstein. She went and she was pretty outspoken. This is a senior Democratic senator. She's, you know, well-respected on certainly within Democratic circles. So this is not a situation where she's, you know, doing this. How long's that bite? Let's go ahead and play it.
We added a 30-day notification to the intelligence authorization bill, and we laid out the specificity of the requirement that the Congress be notified 30 days before any proposed transfer of any detainee at Guantanamo. The concerns were bipartisan, and I strongly believe that we should have been consulted, that the law should have been followed, and I very much regret that was not the case.
That's coming from Democrats, folks. Bipartisan opposition to what's gone down here. But I'll tell you where there's bipartisan unity. That is Free Miriam Ibrahim. Sign that petition now at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast for everyone. We're going to hold our head up and continue to fight. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Then we were talking during the break here about kind of the next move, and I'll talk to you and Jordan about this, and we'll take your calls again, 800-684-3110. Well, we got the unanimous consent for Miriam Ibrahim out of the United States Senate. What's the next move politically, or is it now focused on to the UN?
Well, the next move here domestically is to follow up on the dialogue that has been happening between Senator Blunt and Senator Ayotte and the Department of Homeland Security, actually. We would like to have the travel documents in place for Miriam and her two children should the appeals court come down our way. So we are pursuing that right now. That's sort of a behind-the-scenes move. But, Jay, I would also just say there may be a need for another public move, another act from the House or the Senate. But I think what we got this week out of the Senate was the right first step to engage, to enable our work behind the scenes.
Which brings up the next question, Jordan, and that is UN-wise. You're in France right now, and our office is in Strasbourg, which handles the whole EU. And the fact of the matter is Britain has been very strong on this. Do we have that spokesperson from Britain's comment? I'm going to play it in a moment. But, Jordan, what are you picking up there? You said you're already seeing there are a lot of still pretty serious discussions about Miriam's case in the press there.
Oh, absolutely. You saw a lot of the footage that was released of her. And, of course, it's been a story that much of the news coverage has actually been driven out of the UK, even in the United States, breaking the news. So the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, has been commenting about this a lot, more so than you see, of course, from people like President Obama. So you've got outspoken leaders in Europe calling for Sudan to release Miriam Ibrahim, but also expressing their concern about the conflicting news reports. Remember, it was a foreign ministry spokesperson who was in the UK when they made these statements that she would be released, and the idea that this, again, was misinformation to try and take the focus off of Miriam Ibrahim. But, you know, I think it's one of those situations where, again, if President Obama, I think about Saeed Abedini, I think about Miriam Ibrahim, if we're willing to give over Taliban, linked to Al-Qaeda, so some of Osama bin Laden's top people, to get back a U.S. soldier who may have deserted his own troops, caused the death of six of them who were trying to find him, and again, was not did this on his own accord, left the base without getting approval to do so. The idea that, again, we'll make deals like this, but we'll leave people like Saeed Abedini sitting in prison in Iran while we have nuclear negotiations with them,
right,
and are giving billions back to the Iranian government, unfreezing those assets, and people like Miriam Ibrahim sitting in prison shackled, and the State Department still saying they need a DNA test on her, the kids, to determine if they're U.S. citizens.
It's absolutely incredible, actually, that this is the way it's transpiring. But the reality is we've got to deal with what we've got, and that's the situation. We're fighting back, folks. But I'm supposed to be, by the way, on with Nagma Abedini on Saturday night on Fox with on Judge Jeanine's program, where she's going to do a segment focusing on Americans left behind. So hopefully, you know, we've talked about that, David, and kind of tying all this together. And there is and we were talking about this yesterday, there is the irony of it is really tragic. What's happened here?
Yeah, you know, every time I'm hearing the Obama administration just waxing eloquent about how they don't leave Americans behind, it's sickening, really. I mean, let's go back to Benghazi. I mean, there were two Navy SEALs on the roof fighting for hours, abandoned by the might of the United States military. No one even tried to rescue them, never mind as to whether it could happen or not. No one tried. That's leaving people behind on the field of battle. I mean, we've got two American babies, 20 months old, 2 weeks old, in Sudanese prison. And what does the State Department say? Let's do a paternity test. Well, you know what? The law is, if you're born in a marriage,
right,
you're presumed legitimate. You don't have to have a paternity
But they are
test.
Almost applying Sharia law, because the Sudanese are saying it's not a valid marriage because a Christian marrying a Muslim, or they're saying she's a Muslim, she can't marry a Christian. There you have it. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Heather is calling from Virginia on line 5. Hi, Heather. Heather, you're on the air.
Hey, hi. My husband served for over 30 years.
Thank you for service. That's great.
Well, it was our pleasure. One thing that it doesn't seem like anyone is considering, and I think this is a slim chance, but we probably will never know the truth if this is the case, is there is a chance that Bergdahl was actually acting on our behalf, gathering intelligence. There is a chance that he was not a deserter, but that he was willing to paint himself as one to serve an intelligence purpose.
Well, and Heather, I appreciate your call. I've got sitting next to me a United States Judge Advocate General, Major in the United States Army, and Senior Counsel for the ACLJ, David French. And let me, because I don't think that's likely, Heather, by any stretch of the imagination, really. I mean, anything's possible, sure, in the realm of anything's possible, anything. But that's just not the way it works systematically.
No, that's not really possible. You don't take private first classes who are in infantry platoons and set them out by themselves into the Afghan wilderness and then cause an entire area of operations to launch a massive rescue operation for them that costs lives. I mean, that just flat out doesn't happen. We do have people who leave bases. I'm familiar with those kinds of operations. I saw those kinds of operations that happened in Iraq. That is not this case here. Not this case at all.
But Heather, I appreciate your call and appreciate your husband and your service to our country. We're going right back to the phones at 1-800-684-3110. Remember this, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes. So if you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, which you do on SiriusXM, simply go over to aclj.org. We're streaming it there, a number of other stations as well. Let me go to Michael quickly here from Boise, Idaho, online for. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to say that I'm a 13-year veteran of the military. I have 100% disability, and I did serve during Operation Desert Storm. And my comment is this. When we raise our right hand, we have an oath, and that oath is to follow the orders of our commanders, regardless of what the situation is. And the only exception is when it's an unlawful order. And in Bergdahl's case, I seriously feel, and this is with full condolences to the family that lost military members, that they were following orders, and their loved ones can take pride in the fact that they were following orders, no matter how bad those orders were and misguided those orders may be. And we're looking at a political situation, a very poor political situation.
Well, the politics, I want to keep the politics out of it. I think what you said is right. The men and women, the moms and dads and grandparents and brothers and sisters that lost loved ones trying to find Bo Bergdahl, they should feel like they did what their country asked them to do, and we should hold them in the highest respect and honor. Hey, folks, we're taking a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Again, sign on that petition for Miriam Ibrahim at aclj.org or beheardproject.com or 1-877-989-2255. Also, like us on Facebook. Share our information on Facebook. I've got a Facebook page. So does Jordan. So does the ACLJ. Also, follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSeculo. Again, sign on that petition. Last 2 days to do it for Miriam Ibrahim, aclj.org or beheardproject.com or 1-877-989-2255 or aclj.org. Back with your calls in a moment.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
To the thief. There's too much confusion.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. That's 800-684-3110. We're talking about the situation with Miriam Ibrahim. We're talking about the situation with Miriam Ibrahim's hopeful release now that we've got U.S. consent, unanimous consent. What does that mean, Than, by the way, when we say we got unanimous consent? Of course, we've still got to put a lot of pressure on the Sudanese, and the international community has to speak out on this. Because right now, those two babies are in jail in Sudan. But what is that when we have this unanimous consent? Explain to people what this means.
From a procedural point of view, it means that all of the offices were given notice that this bill was going to come up. They were going to ask for unanimous consent, and any single senator could have objected to its passage. They did not do so. So as a result, the full United States Senate has voted unanimously to approve it. But, Jay, I think the importance of it, you know, it's more than a procedural importance. The importance is it has put the Department of State and the Department of Homeland Security on notice that if they don't do the job they are there to do, that the United States Senate is going to force their hand. We have talked about that before on this broadcast, and I think this is sort of the Senate's opening volley to say, do your job, otherwise we're going to do it for you.
Jordan, do you sense that, now that you've been in Europe for a few days there and are following this and dealing with this, do you sense, I know you're meeting with some of our staff this afternoon, or this evening, your time, that this issue with Miriam Ibrahim is still, because the UK has been very strong, others within the UN have been strong. Do you think this can, we galvanizing support and keeping this in the news, it's just like Saeed Abedini's, you got to really work that.
That's right, because you're not always going to have breaking news. You're not always going to see the news stories. You're not always going to get comments out of the Sudanese government. And the question is, how long does this stay in the news? And, you know, most of that comes down to people asking news stations, you know, whether it's through social media, whether it's talking about it as we're doing right now, petition drives, continuing to keep it in the news when there may not be breaking news that moment on it, because, you know, these, the way these stories come out, they're shocking at first. They shock your conscience, and I think it has done that. You learn more. Then you learn she's pregnant. Then you learn she gives birth shackled. The questions about her children's U.S. citizenship and these children being in prison, the finally the United States confirming that her husband is a U.S. citizen. They did that. And then ultimately, you are seeing it. I mean, just flipping through here, the different channels, you'll see the images of Miriam Ibrahim in prison, those that came out this week. And so in a sense, it's staying in the news to some extent. The question is, will it be in the news a week and a half from now? That's what how I look at it is when there's not as much breaking news or analysis. And then, of course, there's other stories as well that happen, like the incident here involving Sergeant Bergdahl. And then does that make us forget? And we can't do that. If we do that, Sudan wins.
Yeah, we have to multitask, folks, on all these issues. You can't just do one at a time. TR is calling from Idaho. He's on line 4. TR, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. I'm prior service, and I haven't heard something mentioned. I've been listening to this. Back when I was in, when a man went AWOL, absent without leave, under the UCMJ, there was an Article 15 made up using the chain of command. Was an Article 15 ever made out?
Go ahead, David.
The charge here would likely be desertion, not AWOL, so you probably wouldn't use an Article 15, which is a form of non-judicial punishment, lesser punishment. You'd probably go for a full court-martial. What they have done is they've done an AR-15-6 investigation, a formal investigation. We don't know what that investigation said. We do know and have heard from many of the soldiers who gave sworn statements in that investigation, and they have told the story of desertion.
David, quickly here. I know we're on a hard break, but the situation with him, he was never listed as a POW, correct?
I don't believe that he was ever listed formally as a POW.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's very interesting also.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, folks, we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Again, if you want to sign on and help Miriam Ibrahim, we're tying it all in. Americans left behind. Her kids are Americans. And they're in jail with her. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Again, share our information on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Very important that we be able to communicate with you. Follow Jordan on Twitter.com/JordanSecondland. Sign that petition for Miriam Ibrahim. ACLJ.org or BeHeardProject.com or 877-989-2255. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Joe Walsh special song there, that done by the band here at Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Fans in our offices in Washington, D.C. David's with me here in our media center, and Jordan is in our offices in Strasbourg, France. Jordan, let me get it. You know, I know you've just been in there a few days, but your sense on the presidents in Europe right now, too, is this issue of the president's leadership? Let's talk about that for a moment. Is it playing as an issue in Europe right now, especially with Putin coming in for these meetings?
Yeah, it is. Of course, you know, there's a new kind of a light on the G7, which is usually the G8, because Russia was not asked to take part in the meeting. That's occurring as we speak right now in Paris. You've got, of course, the 70th anniversary of D-Day coming up as well. So there's a lot of world leaders right now in France, actually, including Putin. And you've got, of course, the British Prime Minister, and the Queen of England is coming. And, this focus, I think the fact that on the front page, at least of the news websites, then certainly some of the newspapers here, and definitely their coverage of the United States, is this story about even the fact that the town has canceled the ceremony, the welcome home ceremony, yep, because he may be a deserter. That story is in the news in Europe. That story is in France, just about how the town has reacted, because there's so much information out there. And now people, again, it leads, we had a caller say, yep, you know, this conspiracy idea, it makes you question everything this, yeah, White House says. And it sounds like even now on the news, they may be pulling back some of their statements.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to find out. Supposedly they're trying to redefine Susan Rice's statement about he served with honor and distinction. What was the, she was referring to the fact that he was over there as a U.S. soldier, volunteered for service, and remembered, has just endured 5 years of brutal captivity. She wasn't necessarily trying to characterize the circumstances of his capture, which she said we'd have to learn more about, and let's not get ahead of the facts. So, David, do you buy that kind of mea culpa explanation? I didn't mean to say, this is special, this is Susan Rice special, never mean what you say.
Yeah, I mean, this is utter garbage. I mean, this is just trying to figure out some way to make her words, to blunt the impact of her words. This, yep, is just pure spin. She was trying to refer to his service. She said it in plain English,
yep,
but she was wrong.
All right, we're going to Wes, a 23-year veteran from Tampa, Florida, on line one. Hi, Wes.
How you doing, Jake?
Good. Thanks for your service.
Well, you're very welcome. I appreciate you taking the call and giving those of us that are out there beating the ground a chance to kind of voice our position.
Yep.
I did have a quick comment about Miriam Ibrahim before we talked about the whole prisoner trade,
yep,
scenario.
Go ahead.
The U.S. State Department, from what they just said, are insinuating that they want a DNA test.
Correct.
That is not allowed under Shiro law. And so that is probably going to be a trump card or an ace in the hole that they'll get to pull and get to blame it on the Sudanese.
Well, I mean, I'm glad you said that. I don't know the details on that, on the Sharia law aspect, but that's interesting. But I will tell you this. They're not going to let someone come in there and do a medical swab. I mean, what are they? I mean, this is like living in Fantasy Island. I mean, this is like you said, this is the Sudanese. So, yeah, we're aware of the State Department's ridiculous proposals. And David pointed out there's a presumption here. And Wes, I'm going to let you finish, but let me let David go through that presumption.
Yeah, if you are born to a married couple, there is a presumption that you are a child of that marriage. There's not a requirement of a DNA test. If you look at the State Department's own website, it says that a DNA test is only going to be really recommended if you're born out of wedlock. This is a child born in wedlock.
Yeah, so the whole thing is absurd that the State Department's doing. That's why, folks, we want you to sign that petition at aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. But Wes, finish out a bit of what you're saying.
The other thing I have is I've had considerable training in the military on various aspects of stuff. I have some specialties and even some instructor qualifications.
Yep.
On certain things. But the big point is this whole negotiating with terrorists, this huge monumental policy change for the U.S. and our NATO allies. No one negotiates with terrorists, but yet we just did. And not only does it endanger our soldiers, but it endangers every single American that
We're with you, Wes. We're with you on that. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate your comments. Rib's calling from Austin, Texas, on line two. Rib, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Rib, you there? Tell you what, we'll go back to you. Gene's calling on line five. Hi, Gene.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Two quick things. I served 22 years in the Navy.
Thank you for your service.
Retired. Thank you. And flew in an aircraft that I knew that had consequences if it went down in enemy territory, and that if they got a hold of me, that, you know, I wouldn't be negotiated for. So we sign up with that expectation, with that understanding. But I vividly remembered seeing people decapitated because they couldn't get negotiations with terrorists, and they paid the ultimate price. And my second point is, you know, most of the comments that I hear and we're focusing on is the potential threat that it has on the military, on the
right,
on the war front. But we got to remember that this dream team has been connected to the attacks on our soil.
Right.
And so they can very well, you know, turn it back on us.
David, go, I want David. David shaking his head here, who's also in the Army. So go ahead. And
yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, you're talking about letting loose some of the most seasoned terrorists in the world.
Yeah.
And you know, the threat here isn't just to American military members of the American military. There are Americans who are traveling in Southwest Asia.
Sure.
They're now at much more risk than they were.
Hey, Jordan. You know, there's a sense and you're there right now in our offices in Strasbourg, France. There's a sense in Europe, you know, human rights, get the deal done. This kind of, you know, what is the reaction to this transfer of the Gitmo detainees? I mean, what's the view on that? I know there's been opposition to Gitmo, but what about them just being released?
I think that there's shock about who these five are.
Yep.
So that you wouldn't expect that of those five that they'd be people that you'd even be able to associate directly with Osama bin Laden, that they would be some of those who, you know, when this news first broke, I thought a lot of people would tie that these five to people who have been released, but that no country will take. And that's what there are people at Gitmo now who have been cleared, or at least have been said that they're no longer a threat. And they were not this highly ranked in Al-Qaeda. They were not tied directly to Osama bin Laden this way. Some are younger, some are older. Some were kind of tribal leaders getting picked up and fighting against the United States, or that they were supplying the enemy against the United States. That it was people like that, not that it was people who were directly tied to Osama bin Laden, and that's who we're releasing. So it's bigger than just, do you think Gitmo is wrong or right? It's the idea is, what is the United States foreign policy? How do you predict U.S. foreign policy in 2014? Very difficult for the rest of the world to do.
Than, what is your sense on how it plays out at the politically? What's going to be the fallout on this whole thing?
I think on Wednesday, behind closed doors, what Secretary Hagel is going to hear from both sides of the aisle is that these senators, these members of the House, believe that it is a certainty that these five terrorists are going to plan future attacks. Now, you know, God willing, we certainly hope we can foil those attacks.
Right.
But the idea that these five are not going to plan attacks, that they have not gone back to the battlefield, is a ridiculous one. And by the way, that is exactly why Congress was supposed to have been consulted.
Exactly.
Because they were supposed to help the president decide, will these guys return to the battlefield?
Right. Mike's calling from Las Vegas on line six. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, Jay. Thanks for putting me on,
sure.
on the line. I've been listening to all these comments and from my legislators and stuff, but nobody's asking the question that, you know, the president said that he didn't have time to notify Congress, but he didn't have trouble bringing the parents to Washington.
For that Rose Garden celebration. Yeah, exactly. You're exactly correct. And what does that mean? The president, I guess, did not anticipate the blowback they've gotten. They thought this was going to blow the VA news off the media, which it did, and this would be some celebration. Instead, it's raised more questions. Rib, very quickly, please, you're on the air.
Okay, yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jeff. I guess my question is, how is this not treason, high crime or misdemeanor? Because he's jeopardizing American citizens as well as troops abroad now because you guys said earlier that Taliban commander is going to have his agents redeploy efforts to capture HVTs and other soldiers. So the cause and effect relationship here is one where the president should have done his homework. And in this case, if we happen to see news items where the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, let me give you something. This is a breaking news item right now. This is an AP report. It just came out. The Congress not told of the swap because the Taliban threatened to kill Bergdahl if leaked. Well, I'm sure the Taliban was threatening to kill Bergdahl the whole time, and the discussions for his release have been going on for 6 months. So that's not really breaking news. Again, no one's complaining about Bergdahl getting back to the United States. It's, do you release five Taliban members in the interim? The answer is no, we don't negotiate with terrorists. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, I'm on with Sean Hannity talking about this same issue. You're not going to want to miss it again. If you want to help with Miriam Ibrahim today, tomorrow, last 2 days to sign that petition on air, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. You can also sign it at BeHeardProject.com. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. That's me. That's the ACLJ, Jordan. Get that information. That's a great way for us to communicate with you. Folks, we're approaching right now, between mine and the ACLJ's, 1.7 million people. That allows us to communicate with you really quickly. Back with more in just a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The situation facing Miriam Ibrahim is grave. This mother, imprisoned because of her Christian faith, has given birth to an American girl. The infant, along with her 20-month-old American son, are confined and shackled with her in prison. As international outrage grows, the Sudanese government is playing a political game with the life of Miriam and her two American children. Because of her crime, she's been sentenced to torture and then to death. The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, folks, I know that you are seeing a lot in the news about this prisoner swap. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl for five Taliban terrorists that were being held at Guantanamo Bay. Jay was actually on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast talking about all angles of this, including the legality of it, the 30-day notification that the president had to notify Congress. And we are seeing Republicans and Democrats on both sides of the Hill frustrated with the Obama administration for ignoring that law. Most notably, Dianne Feinstein, the lead Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee. So maybe the member of Congress with the most information about who these five terrorists are. She would have liked to have been noticed. Let's just put it that way. She would have liked to have been given notification that these five were going to be released, and I do not think she would have been in favor of this deal. You're going to hear some audio from her as well. But again, this is Jay on with Sean Hannity. I thought playing this interview would give you a flavor of exactly what that debate is looking like in Washington, D.C. So let's go ahead and take a listen. This is Jay on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast.
The best, most comprehensive of coverage of this, well, if you want to call it deal, this prisoner swap. The issue of legality is now kicked in full form, and others are out there even suggesting that this could, in fact, be an impeachable offense. It's gotten that far, but Jeffrey Toobin, liberal, even says that Obama clearly broke the law. Then you got Jonathan Turley, who said we're constitutionally at the tipping point, we broke the law. The Daily Mail Online has a headline, could Obama be impeached over prisoner swap, which brought home the soldier who walked away from his unit. Republicans claim the deal was, in fact, illegal because it required him to notify Congress 30 days before releasing anybody from Gitmo. The administration never told Capitol Hill until after Bergdahl was in American custody and the U.S. Taliban prisoners were preparing to leave. By the way, has anyone noticed them in handcuffs in Qatar or in prison in Qatar? Has anybody, seems like they're having a good old time. They're free to walk around and do anything they want. And it gets worse from there. CNN reporter actually asked Jay Carney today, does Obama feel as though he's above the law? They got a hero's welcome in Qatar. The handpicked Taliban members for one American apparent deserter. Doesn't love the country. Six Americans died in this process. You're going to meet the mother of the slain Army Lieutenant Darren Andrews tonight. Half hour from now. Jay Sekulow is here with the legal analysis of this. And like others, he says, no, this was absolutely positively illegal in every way.
Sean, there's not even a wiggle room here. I mean, what the White House is arguing is that the president issued a signing statement before he cut the deal, which resulted in the sergeant coming back on his way to America and the five Taliban leaders being released. And what's interesting here is a signing statement does not, under any circumstances, give the president the authority to override the law. And the law is crystal clear and not complicated. I talked to you about this when we were on television yesterday. This is not complicated. The Secretary of Defense is supposed to give 30 days notice and a certification in writing to the leadership within the various committees of the House and Senate. And that basically would say this: we are prepared to release these individuals. We have been assured because of A, B, and C that they will not be in future harm to the United States and put our troops in jeopardy, and do that certification 30 days before the release. It doesn't even require consent. It requires simply notice and certification. But the White House here chose not to follow the law. Why is that? Well, number one, you know that they had more than 30 days notice that this transaction was in process, because we know they've been negotiating now for months. That's number one. Number two, they couldn't certify, Sean, that these guys weren't going to harm America or Americans in the battlefield or Americans right here in the USA.
Now, Jay Carney said a couple of days ago that, in fact, they pose no danger to America or Americans. And then Jay Carney, on multiple occasions, by the way, spelled out exactly what you are arguing from a legal standpoint. Listen to this.
Jay, going back to Afghanistan, the Taliban has offered to release Bo Bergdahl in exchange for five members of the Taliban who are currently being held at Guantanamo Bay. Is this
something that the administration is considering? Is this something that the president would agree to?
What I can tell you is that the main dialogue that we support is the dialogue between Afghans, between the Taliban and the Afghan government. However, there are some issues that we would like to discuss with the Taliban directly, and that includes the safe return of Sergeant Bergdahl, who has been gone for far too long. With regard to the transfer of Taliban detainees from Guantanamo Bay, we have made, the United States has not made the decision to do that, though we do expect the Taliban to raise this issue in our discussions if and when those discussions happen. As we have long said, however, we would not make any decisions about transfer of any detainees without consulting with Congress and without doing so in accordance with U.S. law.
So you haven't
ruled
it out?
I'm simply saying that, first of all, you have to separate the two issues. We are focused on the return, the safe and immediate return of Sergeant Bergdahl. And we continue to use the tools at our disposal to help bring that about. We also expect the Taliban to raise the issue of their detainees in discussions that we have with them if those discussions take place. And at this time, we've made no decisions about the transfer of detainees. And in accordance with law, we would be consulting with Congress should we make any decisions about that.
I mean, he made your case for you.
Yeah, because the law is that clear. And the irony here is, and you got to ask yourself, why did the White House subject themselves to this scenario that they now find themselves engulfed in? And it's not really a question of should we get the sergeant back, you know, did he desert or not desert? There's all kinds of issues, and there's a whole story there I don't think we have any clue on. But I will tell you this, it was very clear that you could follow the law as president of the United States. He's not a king. You don't get to, you know, issue edicts and decrees, and you issue a signing statement doesn't get rid of a law that's been signed by Congress and signed by the president. By the way, this president, the Defense Authorization Act has this language in it, but the president chose to ignore it because he knew he couldn't qualify this transfer under the scenario that's set out in the law. And rather than saying, you know, this isn't going to work, he went ahead and did it because, you know what, at the end of the day, Sean, he believes there are absolutely no consequences to his action.
Well, I mean, the president, I mean, this for Jonathan Turley, George Washington University law professor, and for Jeffrey Toobin in this case, but more clearly, I think Turley has been very outspoken that we're now at a constitutional tipping point.
Yep.
I mean, look at the Obamacare law. They just change it willy-nilly based on what the need of any given minute or hour happens to be. Similarly, with immigration law that they choose not to enforce and say they won't enforce it, or just unilaterally changing the, you know, welfare work requirements because they don't think they're fair. I mean, you know, look, we have a constitutional process. We have checks and balances. We have co-equal branches of government. This, to me, seems a lot deeper, that we have a president that refuses to basically live up to the law, in this case, one that he himself signed.
That's correct. And, Sean, it does go beyond, way beyond, the policy issue of the transfer. It goes to a fundamental issue of the application of the rule of law. And I think Jonathan Turley, when he talks about a constitutional showdown, a constitutional tipping point, a constitutional crisis, it's not so much just what happened here. It's the idea that you've got a law that is so clear, never been any issue with it, and the president just chooses to ignore it. That's the constitutional crisis, because if you look at the separation of powers and what the role of the president is under our Constitution, this is not what the president gets to do. Kings don't even really get to do this. But the president certainly doesn't have the authority to do what he did.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Sean Hannity. We will keep you posted. There is certainly a lot more to unfold on that situation. But as we close the broadcast today, listen, it is time for Miriam Ibrahim and her two children, two U.S. citizens, to come home to the United States. If you want to stand with her, stand for her freedom, I need you to go to your phones and call 877-989-2255. You can also add your name to the petition for her release online at BeHeardProject.com. But as we close the show, you go to your phones, 877-989-2255, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
The ACLJ is intensifying its international push to stand up for Miriam and her children. In less than 2 weeks, more than 300,000 people have signed on to our petition demanding her freedom. Please take a moment now and add your name today. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.